What's up, Open Door? How you guys doing? Doing good? Oh, we got some clappers this morning. All right, doing good. Well, my name is John Jacobs. Man, it's been really cool to hang with you guys for the past couple weeks. It's my third and final week up here, so you can rest assured there's some new people coming. This isn't your cup of tea, but man, I hope you're loving the series Live It Out. You guys learn anything? We're living it out? I love it. There's been some awesome things happening in our church, and it's been kind of neat for me to track through. You know, we have the opening montage with the three different things, you know. And as we were coming up with this series for the summer, you know, we kicked it off with Pastor Ken. You guys remember that? His background slide they gave him, remember that? They chose the skateboarder dude. Pretty cool. You know, Pastor Ken kind of came out of nowhere and sort of flowed into our church and hooked us up with some great foundation for the whole Live It Out series. And Tim, our tech dude, he gives us our slides. And when I was coming up, he gave me the basketball slide, you know, because, I mean, let's face it, I'm like Kyrie, baby, you know, of all the guys. So it's cool. So we got Brian Patchinger's up next. And what do you think his background's going to be? You guys remember what the other thing was? Oh, that's right. That's right. We're going to give that to Brian. Avon Lake, represent. He's going to teach us to live it out like a ballerina. Well, Brian's got this. Come on, Brian, now. We know you got some moves there. So we're excited to hear him over the next couple weeks, close out this series. But it's been great for me. God has taught me a ton. And again, I hope he's teaching you a ton. But got a powerful message today. I don't want to mess it up. So why don't we just start by just giving this up to God. So Father, you know I never want to come up here without you. I need you so much, Holy Spirit. We need you everywhere right now. The truth of your word is too good to miss this, from being distracted by phones or what happened last night or my stomach rumbling. Man, in the power of Jesus' name, we ask for you to just focus us right now on your word, on your voice, on your truth. God, I give myself to you right now. Anything you want to say, do inside of me, have your way. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for the things you're doing in our church. Jesus, you're amazing. We love your name. It's in that name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's get this thing rocking. We are going to jump into a passage in Matthew 6. And this particular passage, and actually the very last verse we're going to read, has been just monumental in my life. Matthew 6:33, God has just taught me so many things from this verse, from this part in his word. So I want you guys to grab that. And when you get it, go ahead and stand up to honor God's word. Going to read this together here. And as you're standing up, I want to kind of, again, set the stage a little bit. So we're in this book of Matthew. And man, if you're not down with some Matthew 5, 6, 7, you need to be, because it's amazing. That is Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. I mean, the best, most amazing sermon ever preached. Tons of truth in there. This is where Jesus is busting out the Beatitudes, the attitudes of how we're to be as followers of Jesus. He's teaching on adultery, divorce, murder, anger. Jesus is talking about how to love your enemies, and he teaches us on prayer, how to pray. And then as we move right before this, Jesus starts talking about things we should treasure. Remember this? And he's saying, hey, the stuff down here on earth, that's not stuff you want to treasure, man. Stuff can get in and eat it up, mess it up. You want to lay up your treasures in heaven. And then he says that famous line. He says, listen, because you can't serve both God and the dinero, the money. You can't do it. And then we're right here in verse 25. And so Jesus has said that. You can't serve both God and money. Therefore, anytime there's a therefore, know what it's there for. And that's why he's saying this. Therefore, because of that, I'm going to tell you guys something. Now, Jesus is on a mountainside. People are sitting on the hill there. They're outside. He's talking outside. No microphones, no amplifiers. So I'm going to tell you guys something. Don't worry about your life. Interesting that 2,000 years ago, people were worried about their life. What you will eat or drink or about your body. What you're going to wear. Hey, isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at, man. You see these birds flying around this hillside? They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't store away in some bird barns. And yet your heavenly Father, look at, they get fed. Aren't you guys more important than birds? Aren't you more valuable than birds? Can any one of you, by worrying about this stuff, even add a single hour, single minute to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? How you look, man? Look at these flowers all around us. See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon, King Solomon, in all his splendor, all his kingly attire, was never dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, thrown into the fire, mowed down, will he not much more clothe you guys? Man, you guys got this little faith. I don't want you to worry, like saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans, the world, the people that aren't following me, they're the ones that run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows, man, he knows more than you know that you need them. And boom, here we go. But seek first his kingdom, my Father's kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things that you need will be given to you as well. And you guys can have a seat. So today, we're going to be talking about a little something that I like to call first things first. First things first. Final message in the series for me here. And my family and I, we had a little 4th of July shindig a couple weeks ago. And you know how it goes. You get ready to rock the party in the morning of. I'm like, forgot something, so I need to run to the store to help out with the party festivities. And I go in to Walmart there, and you know, wouldn't you know it, like all the 4th of July stuff, they're basically, it's like gone. They've already like emptied off the shelves, you know, because that's what they do. They're always ready for the next thing. And in its place, what do you think they were already putting out there on 4th of July? What do you think is the next thing? I hear some people saying Christmas. No, they're not that crazy yet. Back to school, baby. And I was like, what? Dude, I feel like these kids just got out of school, man. But man, I was kind of like, yes, because I love back to school too, man. I love it and I hate it. I mean, I love it because, you know, my kids finally have to get up before 2 in the afternoon and get out of the pajama pants. You know, that's always good. And actually be productive and do something, get a little peace and quiet in the house. It's a beautiful time, man. Beautiful time. But I don't love it too. In fact, I can't stand it for another reason. Actually, many reasons, but they're kind of centered around this little number here. The dreaded back to school supply list. If you're a parent, you're feeling me, man. There is some person out there that was hired to do this, and they hate parents. They hate parents, dude. I'm like, I don't know where they get some of these things on here or who figures out who needs what. So I have the Stafford Elementary school list for 6th grade. Let me just read you guys some of these. Oh, and by the way, don't label your supplies because Jimmy, who didn't bring any, is going to pilfer your supplies. So we need 1 3-ring zipper binder, 1 pencil bag with zipper, not without a zipper. We need 3 packages of tab dividers with pockets, 2 3-ring 1-inch floppy plastic binders, 1 3-ring inch hard plastic binder, 5 folders with brads and pockets. I don't know who Brad is. Purple, 2 green, blue, red, 6 composition notebooks, black and white, 2 wide-ruled spiral notebooks, 72... I don't know where they came up with this number, 72 number 2 yellow pencils. I mean, who decided we need 72, man? The person that hates parents. And in case that's not enough, 4 packages of the Paper Mate mechanical pencils, 2 package red pens, blah, 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 you know, low odor markers so your kids aren't sniffing their markers all day. All this crazy stuff, man. 5 boxes of Kleenex, 6 glue sticks. I mean, dude, I used to get heart palpitations just looking at these things, man, because the kids all excited, like, here's my school supply list. You know, we got 4 kids, and I'm like, man, I'm so worried, like, how are we going to pull this off, you know? I'm like, this is nuts, because you know what I'm saying? It's not even just the school list, is it? Okay? Because I'm thinking, I know I'm not going to go out and try to find this stuff. I think I did it 1 year. I can't, you know, you want to see something funny, send a dad out with the school supply list, man. We can't find nothing. So mom goes, and I'm worried because mom's not like dad. I'm the no guy. No, no. Mom's like, oh, instead of 5 boxes of Kleenex, let's get the 10-pack, just in case. No, let's not get these notebooks, just the plain ones that are 50 cents. Let's get the $5 ones that blink and light up with SpongeBob doing a little dance to make your homework fun, right? You know? And then I'm also worried because it's not just that, is it? We got to go out and we got to get the new shoes for everybody, don't we? Because you got to have new shoes when you go back to school, all at $100 a pop. And oh, you got to get the new jeans. And you know they're going to be the new ones that are all ripped up like some rabid jackal ate them. So they're like twice the price, you know, because you got to be cool. Dude, I'm like worried. And we start worrying and thinking like, man, and I'm worried because we argued about this stuff last night. And man, I'm kind of worried because, you know, things at the factory aren't going real good and they're talking about layoffs. And I'm kind of worried because I saw an email pop up from some guy in our account about what's happening. And man, I'm worried, man. There's all this stuff happening. A school supply list can just become something huge, and we all know it. I mean, what are you guys worried about today? Have worry touched your life? Anybody in the house? Isn't it amazing? This is what I love about the Bible, man. God's word should blow our mind. 2,000 years ago, Jesus is talking about the same stuff we're worried about now. He knows, man. How pathetic would it be if the Bible read that and like, well, that doesn't apply anymore. Man, it applies more than ever, doesn't it? We live in the most blessed, affluent society in the whole wide world, and we are just crushed with worry. I mean, look, worry's real, isn't it? I don't need to tell you guys this, but listen, here's some stats for you. These are just from the United States. A couple things I pulled off the web. So it said that 40 million adults, and they think this estimate is very low, 40 million adults suffer from some form of anxiety disorder. It is the most commonly diagnosed form of mental illness in America. Just anxiety. Am I talking about it? You know what I'm talking about? One third of our complete mental health bill that the government puts out there, one third of it goes just to treat anxiety, worry, depression. That's 42 billion bucks that the government spends. Not what we spend, but what the government spends to combat this. 43% of all Americans are on some type of mood-altering drug to battle anxiety. This does include the people that want to go out to the bar, maybe want to go out and smoke the chiba a little bit. That has nothing to do with any of that, okay? So, also, women are 2 times more likely to suffer from anxiety than men. And men, don't go patting yourselves on the back there, okay? Because why are these women all stressed out? Because a lot of us are punking out, not filling out the school supply list and other stuff we're supposed to be doing, okay? Mess these poor women up. 85% of college students polled said that they were completely overwhelmed with what they had to get done to get their degree, to pay off that loan. 25% of college students are already on some form of psychotropic drugs. Dude, worry is real. Am I talking to anybody? I mean, do you know people that are worried? This stuff is real. And listen, it affects everything, doesn't it? I mean, when you're worried, I don't know about you. Dude, that stuff affects everything. It affects how I sleep. My brain's spinning. It affects that I can't sleep. Therefore, I get up and I'm crabby. Me and the wife are fighting before I leave. Or she's fighting with me because she's worried about something, man. I'm driving to work different, you know? People are messing with me on the road. I'm letting them all know they're number one. And you can guess which finger I'm letting them know it with, you know? Bad. I'm driving different. I show up to work different. I'm stressed out. I can't perform as good. My diet changes. The things I watch on TV are different. The things I watch on the computer are different. It affects everything, man. Everything. So it changes how I live. What do? I don't like this. I mean, nobody likes to feel anxiety. Nobody likes to feel this worry, so man, I gotta start coping, dude. I gotta start doing something. This isn't right, okay? So, hey, this guy's got this little thing that I can take, and it seems to do a little bit better. Or the boys that I would normally never go to the corner bar with, but let's go. Let's have a couple drinks. Let's just take the edge off, man, okay? And while we're there, maybe we gamble a little bit, and I can try to make some of this money back that I'm worried about that I don't have. And hey, and there's that cute little thing at the office, and she's giving me more attention than my wife's giving me because I've been all crabby at home. And so I do a little something on the side, you know, because just trying to get this anxiety off, do something to numb the pain, to dull the pain. It changes how I live, and it changes how I love. It changes how I love. Because now I've been trying to fix all this stuff. And I get busted. I get busted about the affair. She found out. It's bad. Divorce is going to go down. Now I got to worry about, you know, lawyers and those kind of fees. I got caught looking at porn, trying to just, you know, numb the pain of that. I got caught. I got DUI coming home, man. I was just trying to have a good time, man. And so what? Now the whole world's against me, right? I mean, this stinks. God's even against me. I'm so tired of this. You know what? All this love, all this work, all these things I try to do for people, forget them. They don't love me as much as I've loved them. So I stop loving and I isolate myself or I get angry. It affects how I love. And here's the thing, man. What's amazing about this passage is Jesus knows we can't live it out when we're stressed out. Can you? I can't. Dude, you don't want to see Johnny J stressed out. Some people have. They're like, you don't want to see it. It's not pretty. You can't do it. So this is what Jesus is talking to here. Man, I can remember for me going back to, I worked in restaurants all when I got out of college. And I was a general manager for this one place, and we had these general manager meetings. And I remember just driving to these meetings. It was like my heart was already going because I knew there was going to be something there, some new thing that we had to do, some crazy procedure, and they were going to stress us out. So this one in particular, there's hundreds of guys and girls in this room, and they're talking to us about the new strategy to make money for the company is we're going to get all of our customers. We need you to go out and talk to your servers, because if we can get everyone to order cheese and bacon bits on the home fries, we can make an extra $20 million if everyone adds an extra 86 cents to put these on their home fries. And I'm driving home from this meeting, man, and all I can think about is cheese and bacon bits and the fact that there's no way in the world I'm going to be able to get my people at this restaurant to do this thing. I'm like, dude, I'm about to lose my job because of cheese and bacon bits, man. I'm about to lose my job. I hope there's some cheese and bacon bits in a dumpster because my kids will be in there diving for it because we're going to be homeless and I'm freaked out. I mean, I'm serious. I can remember this time in my life like, oh my goodness, like one more thing I don't need to worry about. And then, can I go out and act like a man of God? No, I was a believer at the time. I was letting this thing own me. I was letting it rule me, man, and a bunch of other stuff. And I bet you guys have been there too. Something seems so goofy, and it just comes in there, and it takes priority number one. And so Jesus comes along, and what's he say? Hey, listen, guys, don't worry about your life. You ever had one of these friends? You're spilling your heart out, and they're like, oh, man, I'm sorry. Hey, don't worry. I'm like, dude, really? That's the best you got, man? You better be worried, because you say that again, I'm going to punch you in your face, man. Tell me not to worry. Jesus says, hey, don't worry. I mean, is that really helpful? Let's be honest. It's not real helpful to me. But just like Jesus, so amazing, he drops one of those buts. He drops a butt right on us, doesn't he? Here comes Jesus. So, man, all this going on, God's going to take care of you. I don't want you to worry. But here's what I want you to do. But check this out. But here's my way. And then he brings that up. He says, seek first his kingdom, my Father's kingdom, and his righteousness, the right standing that we have in him. All these things you need. So important, guys, remember, we're talking about needs, not wants. All these things you need are going to be given to you as well. Man, you cannot look at Jesus' life for just a small section of the Gospels and not realize how obsessed Jesus is with this word kingdom. We don't use this word a lot here in America, do we? We're not down with the whole kingdom thing, man. We're not down with the whole king, right? America, baby, we're independent. We don't really dig kings here, all right? Jesus is Savior, get me out of hell, cool. Jesus is King, not so much. King is like that creepy dude from Burger King, you know, with the you know, that guy. I used to have nightmares. I'd wake up and that guy would just be standing over my bed, just looking at me, man. Freaky. We don't do the whole King thing, man. It's just not what we're about, man. And Jesus, you look at his life, you look at his words, he's constantly talking about the kingdom. That's crazy. It's crazy. So we have this word here, kingdom, and really what that is this word here is basileia. Basileia. And you're like, oh man, sweet. We're going to talk about Princess Leia today? No, not Princess Leia. We're talking about basileia. So that's the Greek word for kingdom. And so this is what we want to do. We want to make sure we get this straight. What's kingdom mean? What's kingdom mean? It's the king's domain, right? This is where a king lives. The king lives in the kingdom. A king lives there. A king rules there. A king reigns there. You take a king out of that place and he's no longer ruler or reigner there, right? So a kingdom is the king's domain. You see this word all throughout the New Testament, 68 times. It's talking about kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. An early look, when Jesus just started his ministry in Matthew, right, the very first words he ever preached. If this was Jesus' first time on the stage with you guys, he'd get up here and he'd say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's the first thing we hear him preaching. Not saying, but preaching to people. This was his message. End of sentence. That's it. I thought Jesus came to preach the gospel of himself and the gospel of salvation and the cross. Like, what? Maybe he did that later when he started going to other places, right? Well, no. Because in Luke 4, he's been preaching for a while, and then he's about to leave, and they're like, "Why are you leaving?" He says, "Hey, I must proclaim the good news. The king demands good news of the kingdom of God." And there it says, "to other towns also." I'm moving on. Same message. Kingdom. Good news. Awesome. Well, maybe that was just Jesus. I'm sure when he had his guys go out, "Hey, tell people it's the gospel about me," right? No. Matthew 10, he sends them out. He tells those guys, "Listen, disciples, my brothers, as you go, I want you to preach. Here's what I want you to preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Isn't that interesting, man? You ever go up and share Jesus with someone saying, "Hey, man, the kingdom of heaven is at hand"? We don't do that. Now, that's what Jesus is going around. So he's telling people to go around and do. And you know what's even crazier? He doesn't define ever what it is. He starts talking in those weird cryptic terms. Remember this? Dude, Jesus is awesome, man. So he just starts saying, "Oh, kingdom, we're going to talk kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like this guy that had a bunch of seeds. He sowed them all over the place. The kingdom of heaven is like a seed. It's like a mustard seed, this little tiny seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure, and it's buried in this field. The kingdom of heaven is like this dude, this merchant, and he's out looking for pearls. The kingdom of heaven is like, and it's crazy that he never just stops and talks in plain language about it. It's almost like he knew his audience knew what he was talking about, and they did. They did, man. Jesus is trying to reach the people of Israel, and they knew, they were very familiar with the concept in the Old Testament of God is king, God as ruler. You can see it sprinkled all throughout there. And they were looking for the kingdom to come. They were hoping the kingdom would come. And really, what are we talking about in plain language? Guys, the kingdom of heaven is heaven. We understand heaven, don't we? God's domain, right? So what's Jesus talking about, though, here? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is he doing? Well, we have a little clue later when we hear Paul speaking in Romans. There was some debate going on in the church about what you could do and couldn't do as followers and people in the church. It was coming down to like food and drink. And Paul writes to them and says, "Listen, the kingdom of God," cool that they're still talking about the kingdom. Paul is, the church after Jesus has ascended. "The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's a matter of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." In the Holy Spirit. So this is where we start getting down to this idea of what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is rolling into all these towns. He's healing people. He's forgiving people. He's loving people. He's including all these people. And what did Jesus do when he came here? Jesus came to show us what the Father looks like, didn't he? Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." In essence, Jesus came to say, "You want to know what the kingdom is going to be like? Do you know what it's going to be like to be with my dad, your father? You know? Do you want to know what his voice would sound like? Look at me." And he had this love. That's why it was good news. He was rolling into these towns, and the people that thought they were garbage were accepted, and they were loved. And the people that thought they were going to be crippled forever were healed. you know, and he had this good news about him, and it was fueled by what? He was fully man when he came down here and yet fully God, but he was fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. This thing that was inside of him, this communion with the Father was telling him what to do, telling him where to go, telling him how to act. It's awesome. Jesus started talking about it's something within. It's something within. In Luke 17, as always, these Pharisees and people are debating with Jesus about stuff, and they're talking about the kingdom. Where is it, Jesus? Where's the kingdom? You tell us. And he goes, listen, guys, well, you know, point here and say is the kingdom here, or point there and say the kingdom is there. Because, he says, the kingdom of God is within you, or in your midst, as some of the translations say. Because clearly the kingdom of God was not in those Pharisees. But Jesus is saying, just by me being here, my presence, carrying the Holy Spirit around, the kingdom is right here in your midst. And for him, the kingdom was absolutely within him. Within him. And so what does that mean for us? Well, have you guys ever been entrusted with something very valuable? You know, you personally. So a while back, my nephew was crazy enough to ask me and my wife to watch their four kids. They kept the baby with them, thankfully. But we had their four other kids. Been a while since me and my wife rocked the little kid thing, you know? And it was like kind of fun. And their ages ranged. They were all pretty young. But the youngest one that we had was two. Little Roger. Kid was crazy. He was like a little ninja. Little crazy ninja. And I know better. I know better than to leave a two-year-old out of your sight for more than a couple seconds. But, dude, we get brain damage, man, when we get older. So something had happened. The day was going pretty good. And, you know, Danette went down to clean up some rooms downstairs because they were going to come. My nephew and his wife stay with us that night. My sister shows up with car seats and things that I had to get out of the car. So the kids were watching TV. So I went out to get the car seats. And I wasn't out there for a couple seconds. And then one of the other kids comes up and he's like, Uncle John, you need to come real fast. Roger's not doing real good at all. I'm like, oh, well, that doesn't sound good. He's like, he's not doing real good at all, man. You need to come. And I'm like, what the heck has happened, man? I just walked out for a second. So we have this, some of you have seen our dog. She's a golden doodle and she's pretty big and she's a puppy and she's wild. So they decided to let the dog out and they decided to let the two-year-old out in the backyard. So he had took off running. Well, to Paisley Park, my dog, that's like, oh, it's go time, baby. And she got him, and she had pounced on him, and my little man's trying to get up, and every time she's just like, nope, nope, nope. And he's screaming, he's freaking out. I'm like, oh, my gosh, we have traumatized my nephew's child for life. And big old scratches down his back. He was fine. He was fine. But I was panicking because I'm like, dude, these people trusted me with something very important, very precious. Guys, as followers of Jesus, we've been entrusted with this same Holy Spirit within us. That's what happens when we become believers. You know, and it's not something that happens over time, okay? Let's look in Colossians here at this verse. It says, for he, our Father, has rescued us from the dominion. Remember this? Part of kingdom is dominion where things lie, their domain, the dominion of darkness, that kingdom. He's rescued us from that and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of Jesus, the one he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We've been brought in right now, not will be brought. We're in the kingdom. We're in the kingdom with God. See, here's the thing. This is so amazing because Jesus comes down and he walks this perfect life. And he has to give himself as a man, as a perfect sacrifice for our sins, to redeem us. You guys know what that means, man? Redeem. When we've been redeemed, it means to bring back to the original value. The original value before we sinned in the garden. All the way back, the full price. See, the cross, as I've said before, is not the revelation of your sin and how pathetic you are. The cross is the revelation of your value and how much God is willing to pay for you. The blood of Jesus, all of it. That's how much you're worth to God. And God didn't do it just to bring you up to heaven one day, to give you a little ticket to heaven. No, he did something way more incredible than that. God decided, in order to show this to the world, to put heaven, to put the kingdom inside of you. Isn't that nuts? God has entrusted us with the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. if I've put my faith and trust in Jesus and what he did, that is what Ephesians tells me. I'm marked as a deposit, a guarantee with that same Holy Spirit. I've been entrusted with it, man. So that same power that was working in Jesus, these same things that he could do are available to me. That's insane in the best possible way. Guys, this book that you're holding on your tablets, those words, they're written for you to do it. Not some super holy person. Right now, you've been brought into that same kingdom to live it out and be like Jesus. Because Jesus is heaven's final answer. That's why God has given that to us. Is now he's gone, and I'm gonna put his spirit inside of you and let you go live it out. That is my final answer for everything. All this worry, all this stuff in your life, always has been, always will be, Jesus. That's why that name is so powerful. That's why people freak out when they hear it. That's why people curse by it. That's why all of time has been divided 2,000 years ago by one man's name, Jesus. And we have that same power to live kingdom reality out, guys, just like Jesus did. We're supposed to be walking around with that power, showing people how amazing the Father is, showing how great his love is. That's bringing the kingdom to people. One of my favorite passages is in Acts after Jesus has left. And John and Peter are just realizing all this that they have available from this kingdom within them, the Holy Spirit living heaven inside of them. And remember this in Acts 4, they heal that guy, that cripple at the gate, and they get in all kind of trouble because they use Jesus' name. Insane. So these temple people want to get him in trouble. They do. They arrest him. They bring him up, and they whoop him. They whoop these dudes for living out the kingdom, for doing things in Jesus' name. And then they're like, listen, we want you to shut your mouth about this Jesus stuff, okay? Isn't that kind of what we do? Let's just keep the Jesus stuff on the down low. Let's just try to be nice. Let's try to be good. Do whatever you want. Just don't be bringing up that Jesus name thing, man. We're not down with that. I love these guys are like, sorry, dude, no can do, man. Why? Because they had the kingdom in them. A kingdom with the king. A kingdom with the ruler. And listen, man, you know, we do subject authorities, but not when it goes against my king. My king rules. That's what I do first. And what's crazy is it says, so these guys say, no, we're not going to do it. And it says they looked at Peter and John and they recognized, they knew these dudes were unschooled, ordinary men. I love how the Bible says that. These guys are nobodies. And they took note that they had been with Jesus. Power's coming from something bigger. These guys look like Jesus. They act like Jesus. They're doing stuff like Jesus. That's kingdom reality. That's what God wants for our life. That's what God wants for your life. So we seek the kingdom and we add it in to our life to get rid of worry. This outline we have, we seek it, we bring it in. No, this isn't right. Okay, so we bring the kingdom in, but is the kingdom real? That makes no sense. Affects everything, the kingdom. Changes how the kingdom I live, changes the kingdom how I love. What? Okay, that obviously didn't work. So let's go back to our outline. Dude, what's wrong, man? I thought we seek the kingdom, right? It didn't seem to change much. In fact, it just got kind of confusing, and now we're just back to worry. I mean, isn't that what Jesus said? Isn't that what we're talking about here? Just seek the kingdom, right? Guys, this is how we live it out. So important. So important, man. We don't seek the kingdom. We don't. We seek it first. We seek it first. When do we normally seek the kingdom? When I got busted with the DUI. When I got busted with the affair. When I went bankrupt. And hey, awesome. Anytime's a good time to start. But what if we put first things first, guys? What if we put first things first? Where do first things go? They go first. They go first. Where do rulers go? They go first. Where do kings go? They go first. So if I'm living kingdom reality and a king is living inside of me, he rules, he reigns. This is his domain. He gets full say in what I do, not me. That's what seeking first the kingdom is all about. And I have this gift of righteousness from God where I can actually talk with my Father, commune through the Holy Spirit because of the blood of Jesus. And that's amazing. It's the best gift ever. Jeremiah talked about this, said, you know, there's a time coming which has come. Well, God will literally not write laws on stone anymore. He's going to write them on our minds and our hearts. That's how he rules inside of us. We're going to get it from inside of us. We're going to know what to do when we let the king reign and the kingdom come. So when we put it first, everything changes. We get rid of the worry. We'll put the kingdom first, and the kingdom is real. How does the kingdom become real in your life? Why isn't it just real automatically? How do we let something rule in our life? Again, same chapter, Jesus, amazing. Remember when he's teaching them on prayer? Remember how Jesus taught us how to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name's amazing. We always start with that, right? God, you're incredible. And what's the first thing he asked for there? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What if we made that a reality, and that was our prayer, our first thing in the morning? God, this day is yours. Your kingdom come. I want your will for my life. I want heaven to flow through me. You reign in here. Your kingdom, you have it. And then the kingdom, when we do that, guys, when we're letting that rule and reign live, it affects everything, doesn't it? And be careful here, because this isn't how it works. Oh, cool. So I'm going to let the kingdom reign. I'm going to get that promotion. I'm going to let the kingdom reign now, and maybe I won't get divorced. I'm going to let the kingdom reign, and the bankruptcy maybe won't go through. That's not what we're talking about. Mm-mm. Now, can God do anything? Absolutely. But when we talk about the kingdom affecting everything, again, we're thinking about Jesus. Did Jesus roll into towns and everything changed for Jesus? And, oh, hey, it's all about Jesus? No. Jesus rolled into town, and his life, his presence, the kingdom in him affected everything around him. Chaos, I'm peace. Hate, I'm love. Sadness, I'm bringing the joy. Death, I'm bringing the life. Our life, God gave us that Holy Spirit, that heaven inside of us to affect everything around us. We're to be the peace in the chaos. We're to be the joy in the sorrow, no matter what's happening, because the kingdom affects everything and it changes how I live. It gets exciting now when I go to do something like do the school supply list. I'm not stressed out because, dude, there's kingdom opportunities here. I'm carrying a king inside of me. Jesus, everywhere I go, and he wants to come out. He wants to love people. He wants to touch people. He wants to pray for people. I don't look at cranky cashiers anymore and get ticked. Oh, they used to make me so mad. I'm a food service guy, dude. I'm like, put a smile on your face, man. Now I'm like, I got to talk to this girl, man. You okay? How's your day going? What can I pray for you? When I'm living kingdom, that's how I'm living. The doctor, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about the other people. What's going on with you, man? How are you doing? That's got to be our heart. That's how we live, and it changes then how I love. Again, it's about denying myself and loving other people. World reality, self-reality, it's all about us, right? Kingdom reality, it's all about everybody else, man. Dude, what do? We play the game of why do we love people? Because they love me back. You don't love me back, I don't love you. I'm gonna hate you. I'm not gonna talk to you. That's how it works in the world, right? Give and take. Given in the kingdom, I've been given all the love I need by my Father, by Jesus. Dude, I am good to go. 2,000 years ago, I got the best thing possible. I got righteousness, a right standing with my Father. It's all the love I need. I can just go out and be love. Punch me, I'm gonna keep coming. Ignore me, I'm gonna keep coming. Hate me, I'm gonna keep coming. Because I'm to become love. It's not based on what you do for me. It's based on what God already did for me. That changes everything. Everything. Because all of our decisions, all of them, guys, are based on love or fear. Right? Isn't that where worry comes from? I'm making this decision because I'm afraid of something. I'm fearful of something. And what is fear really, and worry, and how does it all come up? I'm going to tell you how it comes up. We imagine any situation in life and we remove Jesus and it becomes terrifying. Think about it. Why would I be afraid if I went into work every day and Jesus was my king and I'm going to do and say whatever he asked me to do because he rules and reigns in my life? Why would I be afraid of how things go? It's when I remove him and Johnny J reigns. Oh, baby, this could go a lot of ways. It could go really bad. I'm afraid when I remove Jesus from any scenario because then I become king, or the world becomes king, or my wife becomes king, or my kids become king. Jesus is my king. With him, I don't have to be afraid of everything. I can just live out of love. I can live a complete life of worshiping God. I love God, so I love people. I love God, so I love people. That's all I gotta do. My whole life is an act of worship. Guys, worship and worry can't exist in the same space. You ever notice that? It's impossible. I can't encourage you enough sometimes if you're feeling that. Dude, I crank those worship tunes. I get on there. I get somewhere and I start praising God. I start remembering what he's done for me. I start remembering my right standing with him. And I take it there. They can't exist in the same place. They can't do it. It's like people that think that heaven's going to be so boring because they're going to worship God all the time. Dude, we worship the things we love. We worship the things we love, man. And when you're in love with God, you're in love with people, and it's awesome. You look at people completely different. Because here's the deal. We're given this kingdom. It's being received, and it says, the Bible tells in Hebrews, this kingdom cannot be shaken, man. It can't be. When I'm living kingdom reality, that's why I worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Listen, there are so many people in this room today, Avon Lake, Vermilion, hurting so bad with this stuff. Some of them don't walk with Jesus. Some of them don't roll. They don't have that belief system yet. And we're sitting here as believers, as followers, living in our own little kingdoms, guys. We're trying to rule, and we're stressed out too. And God's trying to use us to get to those people, and we can't, or we won't, because we're burned out. Anybody feel burned out? That's what happens, man. We burn out. But this kingdom that can't be shaken, this God that's a consuming fire, it's impossible to burn out in kingdom reality. It's impossible, guys. Because the only way I burn out is when Kingdom of Johnny J is alive and I realize I try to put the fuel can back on and there's nothing left because I don't got a lot. It was all in my power. It was all for my glory. It was all for my kingdom or somebody else's. God is a consuming fire. You won't burn out. You'll just burn for the kingdom. Burn like a bright light of love. That's what it's all about, guys. That's what he's calling us to as a church. That's what living it out is all about. And that's our hope and prayer for you today, that you do something with this. It's not eliminating worry. It's just recognizing where you're at in the kingdom and who God is and the power that lives inside of you and having your heart prepared. The state and nature of your heart to receive the kingdom, guys, means so much. Do you remember what he said about those seeds? The seeds that he's throwing out all the time. Holy Spirit's throwing some out today. Is this true? Could I live like this? Could I eliminate this worry from my life? And someone's thinking, yeah, I can. And it's landing on that soil. And you got to push it deep down because what's going to happen for some of the people? It says, but the worriness of the world came and choked out that seed. Guys, we got to have our heart ready to say, God, set me on fire for your kingdom. And that's what's happening in this church. That's what's happening. We have a young lady that came a week or so ago and said, man, I want to do this live it out thing. I want to cook for people. I want to make a meal. Can we do, is that possible? Does that count for like kingdom rally? Like, dude, bring it on. Yes. We got some grills. We got some hot dogs. They are right now in Lorraine cooking out for who knows who, bringing kingdom to Lorraine. Whoa, they're skipping church. Dude, that's way more important what God called them to do right now. We love it. Kingdom reality, a man is her name. It's awesome, isn't it? We had a guy named Mark come up here, convicted. Man, I need to be in church. He hasn't been. You know, went to his employer the next day, said, I'll work 6 days if I have to, but man, I really want to follow God. I need to get Sundays off. They thought about it for a couple days and they canned him. They canned him. I just met that guy the same week doing my phone calls. I'm like, oh, I said, dude, how you doing, bro? He goes, I'm awesome, man. He said, I know I need a job. He said, but John, I've never had such joy and peace in my life. What's the kingdom? Joy and peace. Because like, dude, this doesn't seem good, but I'm putting God first. I'm putting God first. There's a guy in my life right now named Jeremy. I met him a couple months ago, one of the most angry dudes I had ever met. I met him right back there. Oh boy, was ticked. Just angry. And through an event we held, he came up. He was so worried, so anxious, all these horrible things he had done in his life. And I was talking to him. He was clearly convicted by a spirit. And I was like, bro, what can I pray for you about? I don't even know. He was even angry when he came forward, you know, but God was dealing with him. I said, dude, just tell me what you want God to change. He goes, I want God to change my heart. I need a new heart. I was like, boom. Put my hand on. We start praying kingdom over this guy for God to wash over him. A week later, he walks into church, biggest smile I've ever seen on his face. And I'm like, dude, who the heck are you, man? He said, John, it's crazy. He said, I have literally spit in God's face. I told my family I wish they were dead. He was actually looking to join some occultic type church thing. Like, while all this was happening, he said, all these things I've done to God, and I step back into this kingdom, and he's loved me now more than ever. I don't even get it, but dude, it feels so good. This guy's on fire for God right now, out there trekking, praying for men, bringing them to church, praying for his family. He's not out of the woods yet, but he's seen the kingdom. He's tasted it. And that's our goal for you too. For God to light a fire, set a fire in you that can't be controlled, it can't be contained, to live this thing out. Father, in Jesus' name, that's what we pray for. Oh my goodness, Lord, all throughout this church, that's what we want, that's what we need. Set a fire. You already have. And someone's trying to bat the flames down. This is freaky. Man. Don't let them, God. Talk to them. Holy Spirit, grab them. Set a fire that can't be contained, can't be controlled. We want more, God. More of you. The world with its empty promise, we don't need it. God, we want more of you because there's always more. And you're a good, amazing Father. And you're saying yes right now to that person that thought, not me. Mm-mm. I couldn't do it. I couldn't be used. Yes, you can right now. Kingdom reality in your life. It's not a level, it's a dimension. Step into it, man. Kingdom reality right now, calling down on you. God wants to use you to stomp someone's worry today, to stomp someone's fear, to stomp someone's just discontent with their life by being the kingdom, by being heaven, by presenting Jesus to them. So God, flow through us, flow in us, flow out of us, flow all around us, just like those flames, man. Like those flames, Father. Set a fire we can't control. It's heating up in here, God. Don't let us stop. In Jesus' holy, mighty, awesome, beautiful, powerful, incredible name, amen.